Sussex.
This is BBC Sussex.
I hope you're well this Monday afternoon. Still to come today, we've only got Chesney Hawkes on the programme and the lovely actor, star of stage and screen, Ben Richards. But before their warm-up man, Fevzy, our gadget detective. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I use vinegar to clean my kettle.
Do you?
Yeah, I used to use citric acid, and before that I used to use something really vicious in terms of chemicals, but now vinegar does the job.
Really? It doesn't leave a sort of vinegary taste to your tea?
No, no more than usual. It's fine.
Oh, okay. There you go. Top tip from Fevzy. You're not here to talk about cleaning products, though. Instead, you're here to talk about gadgets. We're talking about tech, and if people have got a question for you, whether it be something that's gone wrong, or maybe they're looking to buy a new bit of tech and they don't really know where to start, because I think that can be an issue for a lot of people because there's just so much choice out there nowadays.
There is, and it's hard, you know. Sometimes you have to spend longer with an item once you've bought it to really work out whether it's for you, and by then it can be too late to return it. So it's good to do the research in advance and ask the questions, because items that look similar can actually be very dissimilar in practice. So
yeah, absolutely. Now you have one such item to tell us about. This is a power bank for iPhones, Samsung Galaxy, lots of different phones can be charged using this device.
Smartphones, tablets, my camera can be charged, for example. If anyone out there wants to charge my camera, they can do so. But a lot of cameras now, instead of having to take the battery out and load it into a charger, a lot of them you can charge just by plugging in a micro USB cable, which is the same as for smartphones and tablets by and by. And the benefit of that is that the same device that you use to charge up your tablet and your smartphone can be used to charge those devices as well. You can get one. So the one that we're looking at today is from a company called Anker, which is A-N-K-E-R. And they're not the best known brand, I think. Those tech heads will know them, but for the rest of us, I've often said to people, you know, don't cheap out when you buy chargers and, you know, batteries and so forth for your smartphone. If you spend, you know, a few hundred pounds on a smartphone, don't be buying a charger for £2.50 off a well-known auction website, because
you can get them in the pound shop, Fevzy.
Yeah, well, you know, without wishing to disparage anyone in particular, you know, sometimes things are too cheap, and you know, you get fakes, and they even sometimes can fake, you know, the safety marks, the kite marks and the CE marks that you get on there, and you do hear of, you know, things bursting into flames, as it were. So Anker is an affordable brand, but actually I mean I've been using their products for years, and I've never found a problem with quality. I've always found them to be well made, and I wouldn't use them otherwise, because these are devices that are sort of switched on and charging whilst I'm asleep, and so you have to put a degree of trust in them. So the device I thought I'd share with you today is called a PowerCore 2 Slim 10,000. The 10,000 relates to the capacity, so 10,000 milliamp hours. That's, to give you an idea, that can charge an iPhone 7 over three times over, so from dead.
Really?
Yeah, so almost three and a half times over it can do it. It can also charge things very quickly, so it's designed to charge things at the fastest speed that device can take the current without damaging the device. So, for example, a Samsung Galaxy S7 can be charged from dead to full in an hour and a half.
The problem is, though, with these things, my brother-in-law bought me one a couple of Christmases ago, and I kept forgetting to charge the charger, if you see what I mean. So
you have to do it. But don't forget, if you've got a high-capacity thing, you know, you might only need to charge it once a week, for example, to keep it topped up, because you know, a lot of us get almost through the day on our smartphone battery, but not quite. So it depends. If you're traveling, you might need to use it all the time. But
why is that, though? Because, you know, anyone who used to have kind of, you know, one of the more basic mobile phones from a few years ago, the Nokias and what have you, I mean, you could go almost a week without charging that thing. Is it all because of the internet access? Is that why it eats the battery?
It's partly that. So if you start using Skype video or FaceTime video, that's going to eat the battery. And you can tell, because when your handset starts getting warm, you know you're consuming a lot of power. Mm. So it's partly that. It's partly the size and the brightness of the screens, and, you know, screens ever larger, it seems. And also the processors in these things. I mean, these are not, you know, twiddly little phones anymore. I mean, the smartphones now, the top end, are as powerful as, in some cases, as a laptop computer in terms of their, you know, raw processing power. The new iPad, the iPad Pro, for example, can outperform, you know, even mid-range laptops. And, you know, so that combination of features, they keep improving battery technology, but at the same time, they keep devising things that take up more power. So it's a bit of an arms race between the two. Eventually, we'll get back to that point where the battery will last for you know, weeks at a time.
But in the meantime, we need one of these power banks.
Yeah, and the reason I went for this one, other than, you know, the capacity and the speed, it's fast to charge devices, but it also can be charged rapidly itself as well, from dead, you know, to full. That can be important as well. And it's thin, so it's about 1.5 centimeters thick, and it's similar dimensions to a smartphone itself. And I've actually seen people, what they do is they get a little small charging cable. The one that comes with it is 60 centimeters, but if you get a little short one, a few inches long, you can actually hold the two together and use it whilst it's charging as well, without having a cable dangling around. So it's quite clever. It's quite smart. 18-month warranty, which I thought was quite good for a battery-based product, because often, you know, batteries are often excluded from warranties altogether. £25.99 was the best price I saw it for, and on that basis, I've given it 4 stars out of 5.
I have to look at that. If you have a question for Fevzi, you can get in touch. The number 03 459 570 057, or you can text your query to 81333. Start your message with the word radio. And I was saying earlier, Fevzi, you can literally help people with any type of gadget whatsoever.
I do my best.
Get in touch.
Want to know how to clean your kettle?
Yes, kettle cleaning tips optional. Irma Franklin with this incredible song. Love this. 16 minutes past 2. Didn't I make you feel? What a tune. Irma Franklin, Take a Little Piece of My Heart. It's 19 minutes past 2 and we are talking gadgets with our gadget detective. Mike calls from Seaford. You're through to Fevzi, Mike.
Oh, good afternoon. I have a problem with a Hewlett-Packard Pavilion notebook laptop. Occasionally, the screen sort of jumps, but also, it's not doing it today, but I get a series of discs about a quarter of the way in that sort of come and go. Now, I don't know, I've started doing some investigation, but I don't know whether it's a virus or a hardware fault, so I don't know if you can help me.
I understand. Mike, I missed one word. You get a series of...
tests, well, you know, going through sort of the HP support assistant, going through that, and I think I did sort of like a restart, and it seemed to cure it for some time, but then it reoccurred. And also, unfortunately, it's not doing it today, but also it seemed to depend, you know, it sort of appear after a while as though it might be sort of a problem with a component heating up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there are various possibilities, Mike. The easiest one to check, you mentioned it was, you know, getting screen glitches. Yeah. That could be the software drivers for the display might need updating. It's not highly likely, but it's a relatively simple thing to do, and it doesn't cost any money. So for your screen to work with your computer and your operating system, there's a piece of software called a driver. Each separate piece of hardware has its own driver. So there will be graphics drivers. So you need to go to the HP website, go to the support section, put in the model of your PC, and download the latest driver from their website and see if that helped. That's, you know, generally with drivers, leave them alone unless there's a reason to suspect them. But I would do that just in case, you know, there's been some changes in the operating system that mean that the driver also has to be updated. So which version of Windows are you running, by the way?
Windows 10.
Windows 10, okay.
But the main thing has been... these sort of discs, sort of small discs, a series of them, sort of appearing and disappearing.
Discs, like circles?
Circles then. Sort of grey images, disc size, you know, disc-like. Mm-hmm. And they sort of appear, you know, they appear and then disappear. It was sort of in a column about a quarter of the way in, sort of from top to bottom. Mm-hmm.
So that can be a hardware problem. And I think you quite wisely said, you know, because it comes about after it's been switched on for a while,
yeah.
is it heat related? It could well be, and particularly with laptops, if the fans, the air inlet starts getting gunked up or with fluff and dirt, and inevitably it does because it's sucking air in through those, and the fan itself and the mechanism can be slowed, then that can affect the cooling and components, and especially display components can have precisely those sorts of effects. So one thing that I'd ask you is, have you tried, I mean, I know this is a bit Heath Robinson, but it's a good way of sort of experimenting with it. Have you tried running the computer with a fan pointing directly at it to cool it?
No.
And make sure that the laptop is resting on a completely flat surface,
yes.
so that any vents are that are either on the sides or underneath are not obscured.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you always have to use it with a fan on, but it's just a good way of getting the clue of where the problem is.
Okay.
So try that. It keeps happening irrespective of how much cooling and how much air clearance you give it. I mean, you know, that will tend to suggest some other sort of problem.
Yeah.
If it is a heat overheating problem, you can to an extent clean your own laptop, but I wouldn't advise most of us to open them up and do it. But
Yeah. You
can get, if you have a plastic nozzle on a vacuum cleaner, and you know, ideally a handheld vacuum, or just be careful with a mains based one, you can use a plastic nozzle and just apply it when the machine is switched off and not operating. Just apply it to the inlet fins, just so that you can pull out any dust that's in there. But a proper clean is a professional job. But what you don't want to do is have it cleaned, spend money on a laptop, and then find that that's not the problem.
Yeah.
How old is the laptop?
It's about 2013 I got it, but it hasn't been used all that much because I actually got it from my late father-in-law. My late father.
Right.
And he didn't use it all that much, and unfortunately died 2 years ago. And I've sort of taken it, got it back, and we've got two other laptops in the sort of family, so it hasn't been used all that much, really.
I understand. So with this, you've got to be a bit careful because, you know, essentially we're talking about a four-year-old laptop. I understand that it hasn't been greatly used, but in terms of its value, other than possibly, you know, a sentimental value, but other than its, you know, usage, the value may not be too high, and therefore what you don't want to be doing is spend, say, £100 on trying to fix it. You'd be better off putting that £100 towards a new one.
Yeah.
But let's see if we can work out, you know, whether it is a heat-related problem. Then it is worth cleaning because you could get it cleaned for less than £50 in general.
Yeah.
Go for that. If you do take it to a repairer, have an agreement with them that they will only charge you if they fix it, and get them to quote you a fixed price for fixing it.
Okay,
so they may then have to do some investigation, but make them do that at their cost, not yours.
Mm.
Don't be paying them £50 an hour to investigate.
No, because that could add up.
Yeah.
Mike, I hope that helps. So thank you for your call. Barbara is in Eastbourne. You got a problem with your TV remote, Barbara?
No, not necessarily the remote. I have a TV recorder,
mm-hmm.
which obviously has a separate remote from the television. The remote will turn the set on, in other words, the on light comes on,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't react to any of the buttons or any of the functions, nor can I get the programs that I've got recorded. And I must have somewhere between 200 and 300 programs, which obviously I would like to retrieve.
Mm. This isn't relevant at all, but I'm just nosy. What programmes you got recorded on there, Barbara?
Oh, several films. I've got Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah, good one there.
And Good Night, Mr. Tom. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
It's a John Thorne one. It's a favourite of mine.
Right, we need to get these back for Barbara.
We do, I can see. I wasn't taking it very seriously till you told me about Good Night, Mr. Tom. And now
he's all over it.
Oh, you know that film, do you?
Yeah, I do. Is this the original remote control?
Yes.
What's the brand of the device, may I ask you?
The
brand of the recorder, is it a Humax or what is
no,
it?
No, it's a Goodman's.
It's a Goodman's, okay. The fact that it responds to the on-off press but not the others is interesting, because normally when that happens, what it is, even on a single remote control, there's sometimes a switch that allows you to send a different set of codes to the device. Okay, so let's say your remote control is affecting your TV when it shouldn't be, so the remote for the recorder is inadvertently switching off the TV, so you press on the on button, on comes the recorder but off goes the TV. So sometimes that can happen because the codes are too similar even though they're from different manufacturers.
Yeah,
so,
I have obviously a separate remote for the actual television.
Absolutely. So, but what I'm saying is sometimes manufacturers build in the facility to have two or three different sets of codes coming from the remote control to prevent it interfering. So if it interferes, you can switch it away. Sometimes that's as simple as a switch on the side of the remote control that allows you to pick A, B or C or 1, 2 or 3. So what I'm wondering is whether it's possible that a switch has accidentally been tripped to me.
I haven't got a switch on the side of the remote,
but it can be in other places. I tell you what, if you let me have the you said it's a Goodman's, didn't you? If you let me have the model, perhaps you can look it up and leave it with the producer here. I would look at that, because I put a fair amount of money on that's probably what it is, but I can check if that facility exists.
Yeah, I haven't actually got the model number handy. I'll tell you what happened. My daughter found a potential repairer for her in Eastbourne.
Right.
So I've loaded all this stuff into the car.
Yes.
But then when you came on today, I thought it was perhaps a good idea to get your opinion on it. I think what I mainly want to know is... would a repairer or someone like that be able to retrieve the recorded programmes?
The recorded programmes shouldn't be damaged. It's unlikely that a fault of this nature would damage it.
I wondered if they were sort of loaded onto some sort of hard disk that could be downloaded onto another machine.
Probably the sort of most foolproof way of doing it, although it might be time consuming, is to cause the player to play and then record on its output. So it's a sort of slow way of doing it, but if nothing else works, that will work. So
record onto what?
So you may attach it to something like a DVD recorder or something like that. It depends on the value of the recordings to you as to how much trouble you're willing to go to get them off.
Yeah.
Because it's not
whatever
easy.
Happens, I reckon we can get you a copy of Goodnight, Mr. Tom and Shawshank Redemption.
There's a lot on there, I know.
Why don't you go and see if you can find on the device? So what is it you need? You need the actual number.
Yeah, just the model.
The model number.
So we've got the brand.
If you can get the model number for us, Barbara, give your Nina a call back, who's producing today. Give her those details, and then Fevzy can take a look at that for you, and we'll see if we can get that stuff retrieved for you. Of course, this does mean, Fevzy, that you've probably done a repair in Eastbourne out of a job, but...
I'll split my fee, have
there, that. There you go. Anyway, Barbara, I'll hand you back to you, Nina, and we'll get those details. We're very nearly out of time, Fevzy, but I wanted to talk to you about this news story, because not that long ago, you told us about your new best friend. You've got yourself one of these voice-controlled assistants, haven't you?
My only friend, actually, but yeah.
And what's her name, remind me?
Alexa,
of course, Alexa. Now, of course, at the time, I was a little bit cynical about Alexa, because I don't like the idea of having a voice-controlled assistant. You know, I'm a little bit of a technophobe, as you know. And then I read this, that apparently these voice-controlled assistants, like Alexa, others are available. Amazon's got one, Apple, Google. they reckon they can be hijacked by ultrasonic audio commands that only dolphins can hear.
Yes, so malicious dolphins.
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, have you seen the way they look at you? I don't like that. It's not dolphins doing it. But what two sets of researchers, one in China and one in the States, have found out that if you take human speech and you shift the pitch of it up into higher frequencies that humans can't understand, these devices, these voice-activated devices, will still respond.
But you won't know
that your device has been spoken to and is acting upon it. So it can, for example, dial a phone number or visit a rogue website. I mean, you can imagine.
You can get yourself into an awful lot of trouble.
Yes,
the police say, hang on a minute, what are you looking at that for? Well, it wasn't me.
Well, not just that, premium rate phone numbers.
Well, that as well.
And people, and you say, oh, yeah, but how are they going to transmit ultrasonic waves to your device? Well, imagine this, you're sitting on your tablet or your PC and you're watching a YouTube video, and unbeknownst to you, in the audio track of that video, I'm not pointing out YouTube at all, but you know, in the audio track of a video that you're watching could be ultrasonic secret instructions. I mean, this sounds like tinfoil stuff, but I mean, these researchers have said, and I believe them, that it's possible to do this. And or it could be that, you know, even in a public space, someone could be broadcasting ultrasonic sound that you and I can't hear. Dolphins, it will drive them mad. And also so we're talking about Siri, and we're talking about, you know, Google, and we're talking about Amazon's Alexa. So any of those things could start responding. It wouldn't be beyond the wit of the manufacturers to stop this, because all they'd need to do is filter frequencies above 20 kilohertz, for example.
Well, they're going to have to do that, aren't they? Well, otherwise,
I think now that they will, they'll probably put some sort of software patch in there as well. The ones that are immune to this are the ones that you can train to follow your own voice only, but Alexa doesn't do that. And
I'm worried about Alexa. I fear her days may be numbered.
Well, no, she'll be fine, but she was just going to need some TLC and, you know, a bit of looking after. Look, you know, you can't just take in a friendship. When Alexa needs you, you've got to give back.
Love it. You're never going to separate Fevzy from Alexa. If people want to find out more, if they've got a question for you, they can follow you on Twitter.
They can, @GadgetDetective.
Fantastic. And they can also listen to this slot via Audio Boom. And, of course, there's the podcast.
There is, yeah. So if the podcast on the BBC website, audioboom.com/gadgetdetective.
Fabulous. Fevzy, as always, thank you so much.
Pleasure.